have all their names?
Yeah.
This is Kavo. This one's Frankie. The little one is Yogi. That's mine. The big one's Tala. We have Luna, Mr. Jones, and Cruz the pug.
That's a total of seven.
Seven. Total of seven.
Dogs. Wow.
Hi, I'm Corey, the village dog walker, and I'm a dog walker in New York City.
Welcome to Subject Matter Tabletop,
the podcast about board games and the subject matter that animates them. I'm Steve Gotzler.
And I am Jordan Tynes. We are here in Williamsburg. Is it part of New York City or is Williamsburg a separate district?
We're in Brooklyn.
We're in Brooklyn.
We're in Brooklyn, New York, right?
Yes.
That's what's on your mail. You mail it to Brooklyn, New York, right?
Yes.
So
we're here in New York with City. Yeah. Corey, the village dog walker. We are sitting in front of
Bark Avenue.
And there's no subtitle here. It's just
Bark Avenue like, from McKenzie and Jonathan Yunk, I'm guessing. J-U-N-G-C-K.
Yep. Yunk,
the Yunks. The Yunks designed Bark Avenue. It's a recent game, 2023, which we bought at a convention just on a whim because we walked past it and we saw these cute dogs. And we
it's
thought,
a cute cover.
Oh my
Very
gosh,
cute cover.
Should we play this game with a dog walker? And so here we are.
Here
Thank
we
you
are.
For joining us,
Thank
Corey.
You for having me.
Yeah. So how would you like to introduce yourself?
I'm Corey, the village dog walker. Hmm. I've been doing this full-time for about 5 years, I would say, but dogs and animals have always been a part of my career and my history, so it's nothing new. But yeah, Corey the Village Dog Walker, that's kind of my tag these days. My
Yeah, we found you on Instagram.
Yep.
Which you seem to have a bit of a following.
Yeah, that's a more recent thing. It sort of popped off. I think the big visual thing for me is that I have a tiny red smart car, and I kind of pile all the dogs into it, and we make our way around New York City, and I made a little video about that, and that sort of popped off, got a lot of views, and brought a lot of eyes to my page, which is fun. That's unexpected. It was new, getting used to it, a lot of opinions.
Really?
Oh, more than you could ever imagine.
About dog walking?
I mean, anything.
Driving smart cars?
Anything. Everything, anything.
Wow. Totally irrelevant subject matter.
It ranges.
Yeah.
Yeah, from relevant to irrelevant. But I thought dogs would be a pretty fair or a pretty neutral territory with not as many opinions. But it seems once you're in any form of the public eye.
No such thing, huh?
No such thing.
I'm guessing that you get at least a few comments about, like, the questionable ethics of having a dog in a city.
We've had that. People have told me it's dangerous to walk small dogs with big dogs, which I'm like, my entire job is this, am I?
This appears in the game.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Maybe not the danger, but certainly the difficulty.
Okay.
Yeah.
They do walk quite differently, but it's kind of the whole of my job is to ensure their safety and that I can handle them.
Right.
So walk us through like how you arrived at dog walking in New York City. Where did you come from and how did you, I mean, as much
Are
as you
Are you a New Yorker?
Yeah.
Are you from New York?
Yep. Born and raised.
Okay.
Born in the city and then moved out to the suburbs around, four or five. Grew up there, high school, whatever, college, went upstate and then.
To where?
Skidmore College.
Okay.
In Saratoga Springs.
Okay, right on.
And then came back to the city after college. I was doing a newspaper job. I studied English in college and then.
Right
I
on.
Sort of, yeah, would you as well?
I'm an English professor, so appreciate it.
I'm putting it to
good choice.
Putting it to good use.
Yeah.
Walking dogs.
Yeah. Do you read to them? Have you ever read to one of your dogs that you've boarded?
I'm not going to say no. I'm going to have to think about it.
Okay.
You know, they've maybe indirectly.
Yeah.
They've caught a reading.
Yeah, okay. Cool. Sorry to interrupt.
No,
that's keep going on your journey here.
And so I was at a newspaper job, and then I had a sort of a bit of a personal hardship in my life, and I was having trouble being at the office, and I started taking my dog to the dog park, and we met a few people, and one day someone said they were looking for a dog walker, and I just sort of said, oh, well, I'm a dog walker. She walked me over to her house and gave me her keys, and that was sort of history. I do have experience. I worked at a vet's office in high school. I've always had dogs.
So you have like kind of a like a way with them.
Yeah, I guess I would say, yeah.
So for the folks who are listening, we joined up with Corey briefly yesterday at a dog park in Washington Square.
We witnessed some of that, your way with them.
Yeah, you did. You had a range.
Yes.
You know, you go from sweet and cuddly to there were a few assertive moments.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Jones had a talking to a couple of different times. But you know, some people need a stern hand.
He was feeling amorous yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
you certainly were a little more assertive with the folks in the gate issue.
Oh, ooh, that's a big issue.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a hot topic.
Yeah.
It's a really hot topic.
So
there's two gates.
Yeah. An interior and an exterior. Yeah.
Right.
It's actually kind of it's a little bit. The dog park was a very happy space. The gate situation reminded me a little bit of a prison. The way it's like, move
getting
them
in.
One gate closes, the next gate opens. It's very
I will say, I'm
intense.
Generally quite a calm and kind person, but the gate situation is bad. One of my best friend from the park, her dog got out recently because of a gate situation. He was gone for hours.
Nothing more terrifying than someone else's dog running loose
in
Manhattan.
It was terrible. Yeah. It wasn't a dog I walk. Thank God. Mm. It was my best friend. She was there with her dog, but it was a Shiba Inu. I don't know if you know a lot about dogs, but they're not like.
I think I know what that looks like.
They're not super friendly.
No, my dog does not like Shiba Inus.
That's not uncommon, but they're not super people friendly or people motivated. So it's not the best. Like my dog, if you crouch down, he's on his way over to you.
Yeah, he's coming over here. Yeah. He's with us.
We're also joined by Yogi.
Yeah,
Yogi, the 15-year-old
deaf
Yorkie poodle.
Yeah.
Sweet.
But the gate issue, it's a big issue. There's two gates. There's an exterior and an interior, and it is a one gate open rule at a time rule. It feels like common sense to me. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not. And it also, I don't know if you notice, it more commonly happens with the people who don't have dogs.
Right, who are just
coming in, which you're not even technically supposed to do anyways. It doesn't bother
me. That's interesting. We had this, we were waiting, you know, around. We got there a little early, and I was like, well,
the sign
should
says.
We go in? Or is that weird? Like, should we not be in there unless we have a dog?
Well, I don't know if you read, but the
like
sign says...
being in a playground without children.
Well, it says no dogs without people, no people without dogs.
Oh, I
really?
Didn't see that sign. I didn't see that sign. Okay.
Well,
so, you broke a rule.
We broke a rule.
But I break a rule, too. It says no more than three dogs.
You
so.
Brought a few extra for us to borrow while we...
Oh, so you know what? None of us were breaking rules.
We were all
you had two, you had two, I had four.
Three or four, yeah.
Well, I had three, yeah. That was perfect.
Yeah, it's a total of seven.
So, actually, that's perfect. We all... Yeah. Had the right limit.
And you had a whole range of types of pooches.
Yeah, it's actually funny. Sometimes people ask me if they're my dogs.
Oh, wow.
Occasionally. And I'm the thing that I think is most obvious that they're not my dogs is that they are the range of breed and size is
wild.
Is wild.
For sure.
Yeah. I think when people have a ton of dogs, it's usually a similar breed and size. But yes, it goes from I would say my smallest. I don't walk her anymore, but I had a 4-pound Yorkie named Lonnie. She would walk with the rest of them, not the huge ones, but she would walk with up to, you know, 30-something pound dogs.
Wow.
And then my biggest dog, I probably had 120, 130 pound Leon Burger.
Whoa.
I don't know about
that.
No.
They kind of look like lions.
Whoa.
They're huge.
Okay.
They're huge.
Whoa.
Beautiful, beautiful dogs. But so, I've had a bit of everything.
Mm.
Big dogs walk better.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, hands down.
How do you advertise yourself? Like, how are you getting out there and, like, getting jobs, meeting dogs, meeting
like
owners?
It was a kind of word of mouth thing at the start. Someone just needed a dog walker.
Yeah.
And you sort of were like, hey, I can do that.
So that's how it started. Yeah. That's the beginning. And then since I had been spending with my own dog so much time at the park, I had friends. I had a good friend who was a dog walker there. And then right around that time that I got that first client, she got bitten. Quite badly, actually, by one of her dogs, and she's totally fine now. But it was a little bit of a rough recovery, but she needed help with two dogs at the time, so that made three. And then when you're walking around with three dogs, you kind of just look like a dog walker. Kind of took off from there. I've never really advertised.
Do you have like friendships with the owners of the dogs?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of them I've been walking 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I've had them since they were puppies. Several of them, I'm their godparent now.
Oh. Wow. That's sweet.
Yeah, at least three.
Is that a legal designation?
I haven't signed anything.
You have visitation rights at the vet.
But, you know, I've not really advertised, I think, or at least I hope, I guess, that my love for them comes across and my way with them and my ability, you know, to care for them.
So you get like referrals from these people that you've been working with for years? They like might refer you to someone who needs a dog walker or
I'll
like
get
that?
Referrals. At the moment, I really would appreciate if no one...
You're full up.
If everyone stopped giving my number out. But yeah, referrals, word of mouth. I meet a lot of people at the park.
Yeah.
I also have a pretty big client base. So I'm just known at the parks.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard people ask for a walker. I'm not even in the conversation. And people be like, oh, this one's like, I've heard my name thrown around, you know. So the community just kind of knows me.
So what kind of skills do you need to be a dog walker?
I would say, I mean, love of dogs is huge. Because I think there are people who do it and don't love dogs. And I think...
Which is a skill.
A skill and a blessing and and a curse. It's everything. But I think some people do it for just a job. And I don't think that works because, I mean, they... Mm-hmm. It's like kids. They can get on your nerves.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, more on that later, but finish your thought.
Yeah. I mean, I get peed on. I get, you know, it's long days sometimes. I would say my biggest skill is my complete knowledge and expertise just in dogs. I am very, very well versed in dog behavior. I know how to read dog body language, dog noises, whatever. I've been with people where my dog, you know, I grab it right before it snaps and people were like, how did you know it was going to do that? And because I know the dog. I know. Yeah. I've been with them. Another thing is I know how to handle them. And a big thing about the dog park is I would never let any, I have a few girls who work for me, but I would never let any of them do any pack walks because there's very few people I trust to throw themselves into a dog fight the way that I would and know how to come out of it safely, both yourself and the dogs. Anyone I have walk, I really only have them walk one at a time who works for me and you know, until hopefully maybe I'll find someone in the future, but at the moment that's what it's been. But yeah, knowing how to handle them, not being afraid. Yeah. I mean, dog psychology, which sounds silly, but I really,
That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. And there's also like, I get nervous around dogs behaving badly.
Yeah. A lot of people do.
Yeah. And you, even just briefly watching you in the park yesterday, it seemed like you possessed that nervousness.
No, I almost wish, fearless. I almost wish there was a dog fight yesterday so you could have seen it because that's kind of, people like to, they tell me that they like to watch me break up a dog fight. Mm.
Wow.
But no, I don't really have fear, no, I would say, of them at all. I did get put in my place once a couple of years towards the beginning of my career where I had truly never felt fear around a dog, like ever. And then I had one incident where a dog, it just was totally, it was very unpredictable and I couldn't read him and I couldn't, whatever, and this was years ago and this was not in a park, it was in a home setting. And the dog was being aggressive towards the woman I had with me at the time. And I actually think it was necessary for me to know that I'm not, you know, invincible. And it was good to feel that fear. And, you know, they are animals.
Well, it's you know, I oftentimes hear with all kinds of animals, not just dogs, that you have to remember that they are animals. And so to be completely fearless would be a little bit of an injustice to them.
Absolutely.
As wild things as they can be sometimes.
Oh, absolutely.
Even the best trained dog can snap.
100%. It's huge to remember that. And that's why I think that experience was good for me.
Yeah.
To be.
Yeah, that's cool.
Reminded of that.
So it sounds like from your perspective, you feel like the dog skills are really the foundation of how you find your way into the work. I was curious to ask you a little bit about like comparative, like do you think as a dog walker, in your experience, what's been more important, like practical puppy skills, like dealing with behavior management and that sort of thing, or like people skills, like taking care of people's loved ones, essentially, and like dealing with the clients? Which of those is more important, do you think?
It is neglectful to not mention that because that's a huge, huge piece. I think my business thrives because of the skills with the dogs. However, I think I get business and I continue to get business because of my skills with the dog. With the dogs, and it's evident, and you can see it, and you see I know what I'm doing. I think my business continues to thrive because of my people skills. Yeah. I have always been very friendly, very talkative, very social. I think in office settings, often it would be detrimental to me, and I would talk too much, and it was really, I didn't do great in an office. I like don't know where to draw the line of like stop talking, and it was too formal for me, but. Yeah, the people skills I would say are huge. I mean, when I was in a place where I needed more clients, or not needed, but you know, when I was less full, you chat to people all day, you know, you chat about their dogs and just start talking, and you do pick up clients that way. And then, yes, also maintaining the relationships with the current clients and keeping them updated and knowing how to maintain those relationships. I am very casual in my communications, and that I'm not casual in any way in how serious I take it and their safety and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But my communication style is quite casual.
Your Instagram tag is pretty casual. Your bitch's favorite bitch.
What is
bitch?
It? Your bitch's favorite bitch. That's it's a Chapel Roan.
Oh, okay. Got it.
But yeah, no, it's a big part of why I do what I do. I obviously love dogs, but like, I'm not going to put on a suit and whatever and like speak office jargon. It's just not what's going to happen. But I think most of my clients have appreciated that. And I've become such good friends with so many of them. But yes, I think people skills are hugely important. And that's just also been something that I've always excelled in.
Mm, yeah.
I think the combination of the two is what makes me really good at my job. I think it would be easier to do my job with poorer people skills and better dog skills than flipped.
I mean, there's also the like social dynamics of the dog park, which you brought up yesterday and we kind of alluded to already in this conversation, that there's like a microcosm going on there, and you all, the dogs are checking in on each other, and are checking in on each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
and so there's that social element too. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, and the dog park is such a funny place. I actually one day I want to do something about it. I don't know if it's a podcast or a show or a movie, but I really want to put something together about it because it's such a funny place, especially when you come so consistently at the same time every day.
Yeah.
So it's the same people, it's the same dogs. The dogs have their friendships, they have their cliques, they have their enemies. We have the same, you know, we have the people who come in, we're like, that woman doesn't know how to take care of her dog. And, you know, it's its own little world.
I'd be really curious to hear you speak a little more about how the dog park is a social space, the way that Jordan was just sort of asking about it, how that fits within a broader like care economy in the city. Of like caring for people's animals or perhaps even taking their children to the park, right? You might see nannies out in the park while you're there during the day.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the care aspect of it is huge, the innate empathy to care for other beings. So I do find that we all have that basis as community. And so there, you know, there are the dog walker friends, and then it is a care/service industry. So we do come into contact. There are, you know, nannies at the park with full-time human nannies. There are full-time dog nannies with specific dogs. But I do think the care and service industry does have that kind of community because we are all there caring for other people's loved ones. It's a huge responsibility. Not only that, it's an emotional responsibility. Mm-hmm. You become quite attached and you love these beings. A friend of mine who is a nanny, her family is moving at the end of this month. And, you know, it's a great... She's having trouble with it. She's given her whole heart to the child she cares for, and it's quite difficult. But I do think that baseline of having a little bit maybe more empathy than, I don't want to say more empathy than the average person, but, you know, it's definitely baked into the care industry, and I think that sort of through line connects us as well.
Yeah. I don't think this idea of a care industry is as commonplace in every city across the United States or the world. We're looking at a board game between us called Bark Avenue, based off of a pun of it being Central Park, and we're in New York City, and nobody bats an eyelash about this concept being transposed on this city in particular. But if you were to put it in another city, we might be like, why is it taking place here? Mm-hmm. So, what does that say about New York City? What does that say about the care economy here?
Broadway. Such a good question. I actually just got back from abroad too. I was in Italy, in Venice and Florence, so I got to see a little bit of their dog culture, which is always super interesting. I will say though, the bigger cities, you're finding more and more dogs, especially since COVID, in these public places and restaurants and whatnot.
Airplanes.
Airplanes. Yeah, I mean everywhere you can think of.
Classrooms. I had one in my classroom last semester.
Wow.
My dog did come to college with me.
Yeah.
So.
Oh wow.
Although that was 10 years ago now, but.
Yeah, not one of those yet.
I think his name was Comet.
Oh, it's a good name.
I recall. Yeah. He was a very good boy.
But I think in the big cities, I mean, you know, we have kids later. Mm. Yeah, we have kids less. Mm. Mm. I think that's a huge piece of it. It's community in a different way. I think historically, community is so focused on children and child rearing mm-hmm. in town, mm-hmm. whatever. And in small towns, you're close physically. And there's, I mean, you know, all those historical reasons mm-hmm. for those things. I think in big cities, and especially such career focused people,
yeah,
are not having kids as soon or at all. But that doesn't mean, you know, they don't want to care for
something
and have that unconditional love. So I think big cities are such a great place for that. There's so many like-minded people. And then also just this whole thing of us being in these tall buildings and then pouring out like little ants into these public spaces. And that's our only real like refuge, from our little boxes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We actually hung out in the park for a little while longer after we said goodbye to you yesterday. Yeah. And we just kind of watched.
And it was a nice day. It was busy.
It was beautiful.
And it's both literally and figuratively in every way possible a crossroads. You know, like one of every person in the world walked through that park.
That, like 120 minutes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. It's wild.
You're just not having that anywhere else.
Yeah.
And it never, I'm born and raised here and it almost never gets old.
Yeah. And there were lots of dogs.
Yeah, there were.
All day.
All day.
Yeah. Coming through that park. There was one, and this is a great little moment. Right after we left you, the dog was off leash and in the fountain.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I forgot about this. Yes.
And it was definitely not going to run off.
Yeah, it was just having the time of its life.
Yeah, it was with a ball in the fountain.
Big chocolate lab.
And the routine was bring the ball over, squeak it for about 30 seconds, drop it until it goes rolling off outside of the fountain, then the ball gets thrown back into the middle of the fountain, and the big kind of chonky, you know, lab-based dog like flopped around in the water for a little while, and it repeats all over again.
Squeak chewed. Yeah, 30 is generous. It's more like 90. I mean, it was a good period of squeak chewing.
The squeak is necessary.
Yeah, and there's a guy like sitting on the fountain right next to it, trying to read or something. You know.
Yeah, the person with that dog was kind. They were like, "Oh, do you want to throw the ball?" We were like, "Sure," but then the squeaking was taking too long. We were like, "It's fine."
Yeah, don't squeak.
So, can we ask you? We're sitting and looking at this game. We've kind of transitioned to talking about the game a little bit now. What would you expect to be represented in a game about dog walking in New York City?
Yeah, what would be your expectations?
I'm pretty curious. Traffic. Foot traffic, car, like busy streets. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, that's gonna be poop.
Wow. Poop. But I mean, you can see
there are little cardboard
in the game tokens here.
We're gonna be.
Imagine seeing one of these out of context.
Yeah.
I don't know what you'd think that was.
Chocolate mousse.
Scheduling.
Scheduling. Okay.
Scheduling busy streets. Poop.
Yeah. Some of those things are here.
Okay. Yeah.
Some of those things are here.
We'll see. Some of them might be like sort of a little
more
implied.
Yeah, a little more abstract rather than concretely represented. What about like, and do you have any hesitations? Like, is there anything going into a board game about what you do, which, you know, might be, some might say, like, oh, fairly low stakes, like let's represent this subject in a board game. But for someone who does it on a daily basis with people's dogs, is there something you would be maybe a little bit hesitant that the board game would not capture well of about dog walking?
I feel generally I don't have a ton of problems in my job. Mm-hmm. You know, I know I'm good at it. I know what to do.
Yeah.
It's generally not a lot of problems come up. I will say the problems that do come up are unique.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel that we're going to find here.
Okay. Interesting.
Well, you know, like
you have to interrogate that after
the
game. And then really quickly, just you've told us in casually that you're like games. So what's your sort of bio of games?
Can you give us a brief autobiography of play?
Oh my God. My family loves games.
Okay.
Huge on games. Cool. We used to do you remember Kadoo?
Kadoo.
No. Oh, it's so cool. We were
vaguely familiar.
It's like from when I was
it's a board
really
game?
Really young, yes, but there was Play-Doh. And in,
yeah.
We loved Kadoo.
Okay.
Yeah. That was a big one. When we were younger, you would draw. There was Play-Doh.
It's kind of like Cranium or something.
Yeah.
Doesn't Cranium have like a draw one and a sculpt one?
You know what? It might be Cranium. It might be.
Yeah. It sounds, I think they're similar.
They're similar ideas. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'd do that a lot when we were younger. We'd do Salad Bowl. I don't know. People call it different things.
Fishbowl?
Yeah, fishbowl. Yeah.
That game comes up all
great.
The time.
I'm sure. It's a great parlor game.
Yeah. We love Code Names. That's a more recent one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Love that.
Yeah.
My friends and I, too, we don't love to go out, so we hang out for the weekend, just hole up in one of our houses, do board games and
card
games. Great. And it's the best.
Well, should we give this a play?
Yeah, let's get into it. In Bark Avenue, players take on the role of dog walkers in New York City. Set in the Upper East and West Sides of Manhattan, players must carefully manage their time and plan their routes to deliver their pets home happy, safe, and on time. Doing so will ensure that they earn generous tips, gain 5-star reviews, and cash in on a hard-earned reputation. Bark Avenue simulates a single day in the life of a dog walker. Players compete to earn the most cash by completing walks, garnishing tips for bringing home happy dogs, and sharing cute photos of them on their walk. And as the hours of the day pass, certain events take place, altering the state of play in the bustling marketplace for dog care by introducing potentially lucrative periods of surge pricing or creating new shortcuts and imposing difficult detours. When the day draws to a close, only those dog walkers who have successfully maximized their earnings while minimizing logistical bottlenecks will be able to reap the rewards of victory as the day's most successful walker. On a player's turn, they first roll either a city die or a park die, depending on which space on the map they currently occupy. These dice present a number of random outcomes influencing the walker's turn, awarding poop tokens, meaning they can record their dogs using the bathroom, adding movement bonuses, allowing them to walk farther that turn, or placing squirrels and pigeons in their path, forcing them to start their movement in a random direction, regardless of which way they might want to proceed. Players then move from one city block to the next and across Central Park, according to the speed restrictions of the dogs under their care. After moving, players can choose to take one action from those available to them at their new location. For instance, buying a coffee with tip money in order to gain access to additional actions on a future turn. Purchasing a treat, which may allow them to take on otherwise picky dog clients. Or engaging in their dog's favorite activities, such as fetch or splashing in a puddle. Crucially, they may also use their action to return a dog who has walked far enough, or to pick up a new dog and begin another walk. Once a player has taken their action, if they returned a dog that turn, they may also be eligible to claim a review. Reviews offer benefits to players for completing certain targeted walk goals. For example, walking 3 dogs from the same neighborhood, using treats to walk a dog while ignoring its restrictions, or completing the coveted perfect walk, wherein a dog has pooped, played, and been photographed. At the end of the day, the player who best balances the different personalities and preferences of their various pooch patrons, while also maximizing their earnings from tips and favorable reviews, will claim victory as the most successful dog walker in New York City.
Throughout the majority of the game, every other turn begins with a random event that has an effect, usually pretty drastic, on the next 2 turns of play. We found these to be equal parts frustrating and charming, as they injected the game with the feeling of chaos experienced by an average stroll down a busy sidewalk in New York City. For example, the rats event boosts the effect of any pigeon die roll, which is suggestive of a leashed dog lurching after a scampering rodent and pulling the walker in a random direction. When the dead battery event appeared during our play session with Corey, which created an extra cost for using the take photo action, her reaction suggested that a dead phone battery is, indeed, a troubling condition for any dog walker attempting to provide photo updates to their pooch's owners. Personal goal cards establish unique conditions for each player, which characterize different approaches that real dog walkers might take to shaping their routine business practices. During our visit to the dog park with Corey, she mentioned that she doesn't do private dog walks very often, but there are some dog walkers who specialize in that approach. There is a personal goal card called Private Walker that grants a significant monetary reward at the end of the game if the player successfully completes dog walks with dogs that require to be walked alone. On the other hand, there is a personal goal card called Strong Grip that rewards players each time they walk a very large dog breed. Again, an activity that some dog walkers might not sign up for. Mechanics aside, there is one feature that seems to pull at the heartstrings of every player. Mixed into the deck of potential dog clients, there are some special foster dog cards that are based on real dogs who were in New York City shelters when Bark Avenue was being designed. These adorable friends have short bios featured in the final pages of the rulebook and have a modified reward system where the players can score an extra review but don't claim any money for walking them. The addition of real foster dogs doesn't hugely impact gameplay, but it certainly encourages players to pause for a moment and start gushing about how cute the dogs are. You are adorable, Thumbelina. We hope you found your forever home.
$6. What year was this made?
Yeah.
Those are foster dogs. They're actually real. They're based off real foster dogs in New York City, apparently. That's what the box says.
Oh. So the rule is that you can take dogs on the train, they have to be in a bag, but you could take an IKEA bag and...
Whoever walked a dog for most recently goes first.
Guessing that's you.
Oh, yeah, that would be...
So both of them have chased a ball in the park, and Lottie pooped, and that's my turn.
Sounds fun.
Oh my goodness.
So constrained.
For me, I'd say three is a slow day. Two at a time is like enough ad beans.
Doing a little social media of Lottie and Ripley. Smile, girls.
Rats.
Golden Nugget.
Hey!
Golden Nugget. Shadow.
Shadow. I used to care for a dog named Shadow when I was a kid. It was my mom's. It's just too
perfect. And not every walk is going to be perfect, right?
Yeah.
I don't know, guys. That's what we're aiming for. I always have treats with me.
Yeah.
For me to eat? Or
No. Oh, do you always have treats for you? Is that what you meant?
I you know what? I have both. It's not what okay. I meant. Yeah.
Come on, Pixel needs poop. Hey, Pixel's pooping.
Oh my
god. Stop it.
Gracious.
And I can walk three dogs?
It's because they're from Boston, you know?
So I'm claiming the two. I'm throwing the treat at Gremlin to make him chill out.
Relax a little.
Yeah. Chill out, Gremlin.
Okay.
Couldn't get me out of the house for $9.
All right, wow.
So we just finished playing Bark Avenue, and it turns out advertising does pay. Because Jordan had advertisements all over town and ended up winning.
Actually, not all over town, just on the east side.
You're right, just on the east side.
Yeah.
All over the east side.
And it was positively delightful.
Really made the difference in the end.
Yeah.
I mean, I enjoyed myself. I got to walk some really cute dogs. They took some good poops. You know, we played with some balls.
Yeah.
I took the train at one point.
I never got on the train.
I didn't have the most lucrative day. You know, one of my dogs was worth $9, which, as you said, Corey, wouldn't get you out of the house.
$9 wouldn't get me out of the house, no.
Yeah.
So the pricing in this game is a little funny.
The pricing is a little antiquated.
Tiny bit.
You get a buffalo nickel.
And a $2 bill.
Yeah.
Well, so the first question we always ask people after we finish is, in your words, right, what would you say the story of this game is?
It's funny, it's all these little things, which actually is kind of similar to work, but it's all these like little things that you forget. You know what I mean? You have the card and you're about to pick up another dog and then you see the size and the size restriction. And so it's little thing. It's a lot more strategy. It's strategy and going about the day, but the strategy really came into play more than I thought it would.
Yeah, the strategy, right, is the
planning.
Planning of your next move.
Yeah.
And yesterday when we met you at the park, you had talked about organizing your vehicle.
Mm.
For different sizes of dogs,
right,
and choosing a park with small dogs versus big dogs, things like that.
Yeah, so sort of, I do two big walks a day, and it sort of worked out that on the east side I walk only small dogs, and on the west side I walk only big dogs. I didn't even plan it that way; it just sort of shook out that way. But the planning I have to do with the car, so I'll pick up all the small dogs, and then I'll park my car at the closest dogs. Apartment to the park, so we'll park there and then we'll pick up that last dog and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, there are times when it's like dog car Tetris where I'm figuring out who can fit in the car. Yeah, and then I mean, like, there are just these little things that pop up that you didn't think of. Like I forgot I have to feed this one today, or I mean, really small things, but that really affect and make a difference. And then you forget to do, and you have to turn around and start the start all over again.
Have you ever gotten to a situation where you like showed up and you're like, that dog's just not going to fit in the car?
No. No. Not yet. No, I would know ahead of time.
So you're a good planner.
Like in most things, no. But dog planning, dog Tetris, I'm good at.
Yeah.
One thing you mentioned in the lead-in before we play that you thought might be present is like scheduling.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that might be another way of like abstracting this sort of like action planning that the game makes you do, is thinking about like, well, okay, if I'm picking up this dog over here on the west side, it's got to be back in 5 paw moves, then I can have enough time to get over here and go through the park on the way. So maybe that's one way of thinking about it.
Absolutely. It was stressful in here. It was more stressful in this game than I find in real life, because I have a fairly set schedule. You know, there are a few dogs that come in and out every day, but I'm not moving. I mean, we have every neighborhood here. We have parks, and there's so many options.
Yeah.
But yeah, the scheduling really comes into play here.
Another thing that you don't really experience, it sounds like, is the like marketplace of dogs that the game gives you. You know, it's like you have your dogs, you have your clients, you know where they are.
Yeah, so that was more reminiscent of, I would say.
This was like you have to respond live to these
potential options. Yeah, that's sort of reminiscent of, I would say, the dog walking apps.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'm not on any of them, but they're Rover and Wag, and those are two very big ones. Mm-hmm. And that reminded me of that. It's not how I do it. Yeah. All my clients are pretty set. I'm not, there's nothing live. You have to ask me the day before.
Yeah.
For long-term clients, day of, I can squeeze you in. But yeah, there's no juggling of new clients like that. It's really, I have probably a Rolodex of about 40 clients and everything's pretty set.
It's funny how you talking with you today and looking at this game, and you sort of feel very casual when it comes to your planning and your scheduling. I mean, it's your vibe, right? And you seem to have a system that works for you, and it's consistent. And your comments about how you're not really thinking as hard as you are while you're playing this game, and how when we gamify something like logistics, and I think there's many reasons for this, but it suddenly becomes harder.
Absolutely.
Like we're thinking about it harder, and we're putting more brain power into it, and you're really highlighting that through your comments.
Yeah, I mean, I can walk dogs, break up a dog fight, do my whole day basically with my eyes closed. And not to say it's the same every day, but you know, it's quite set.
Yeah.
My dogs walk together, they know each other, and and you put it into perspective like this, and your brain is definitely using different muscles than the one I'm using daily.
Well, you're using your actual muscles, you're walking around.
Yeah.
Fighting off dogs. Pulling on leashes.
No, I'm never fighting them off. Me. Yeah.
The big muscle that we had to use here was picking up a die and letting it fall.
Yeah.
That was about as hard as it got.
Is anything missing from this game, you think? Like just right off the bat, something that you were like, huh, this ought to be here.
I actually think it was more comprehensive than I thought it was going to be. My schedule and my day is pretty unusual for a dog walker. I think my car really consolidates things and whatnot. So I actually think a bunch of these small logistics most regular dog walkers are thinking about, and I actually think it covered that really comprehensively. I would say there's more poop
in this.
In real life.
Okay. I was going to be really.
Always more poop in real life.
So less poop than in real life. One thing that I feel like is missing based on our conversation before we played is like people. There's no other people in the game, really. It's just you and the dogs.
Yeah. And
the city is like a space.
The city is the space. My job is so specific to the dog park, but I know dog walkers who don't go to the park, and I imagine that their job is quite less people social than mine is. I have a very specific, I think if you talk to other dog walkers, I'm quite particular about my day, and it's very set. But I think for this kind of dog walker, especially where they're picking up, or you know, whoever the dog walker is in this game, they're picking up these one-offs and kind of moving all over the city. I do know people like that who are sort of just picking up walks where they can, and I would say, that's probably a little bit less people focused.
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, social interactions though of a different kind, right? Like crowded streets, running into people, and that kind of stuff. None of that really feels like it's a thing here. It's sort of vaguely represented in like the pigeon and
the events, right?
Those kinds of
but
things.
But even that is like technically speaking wildlife. It's a pigeon, not like a pedestrian.
Yeah.
I walk a lot of dogs at the same time, so I garner a lot of attention when I walk down the street. Always people taking pictures of me and that type of thing, which comes into part of my day. But again, it's hard to say because my main colleague, who's like my main person that has the similar business to me, she's the only other person I know who does exactly what I do with these big pack walks. And that's basically it. I do think other dog walkers walking one, two at a time, I don't know, you're not garnering that much attention. That's like a very huge piece of my day that I'm kind of a spectacle.
Yeah. Like there could be a mechanic where like the more dogs you have, the more likely you're going to be to get like something negative about that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Oh, and it has been negative. I had a dog who was leash aggressive, sweetest dog, but she just was rough on the leash. And she was just being particularly difficult one day, and I was walking her on a tight leash. So I had the bunch of the dogs, and then she was on a tight leash close to me. And a man starts, you know, walking behind me, filming me, asking me why I'm like choking the dog and whatnot, whatever. Geez. I reach out to the mom. Nothing happened. I explained to him. Actually, I was like, well, you want to see what happens when I let her off a little more? But no, but I reached out to the mom and I just warned her that someone, and she's like, yeah, no, I trust you 100%. I'm not worried about that. But yeah, just sort of things like that. There's some difficult people in buildings, random things like that.
Yeah.
I think you're right though. You're right. If I'd say missing maybe street interactions, people.
And this is something, I wonder if these folks who designed this are New York residents.
Good question.
I would maybe guess so because of the connections to the adoptable dogs
the real foster dogs. Yeah.
And I guess one of the things that I've been thinking about actually quite a bit since we've been here is how intense the city is just as a space.
I was going to ask about the noise.
It's smelly. Yeah. You know, there's stuff on the street. There's things that are banging. And we were speaking with a friend last night over dinner, and we got to talking. She's like, that's not normal, right? Like I'm just desensitized to that.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I mean, it's the city is very much so loud.
I just get so overstimulated on the street sometimes, and I feel like, surely dogs must be freaking out, but maybe not. Maybe they're just used to it. Not, you know, I don't know.
I'm so desensitized too, but that is a really good question. There are dogs that hate the city. There are absolutely dogs that hate the city. I think generally they are better. They're far more adaptable than us in every sense of the word, but you will come across a dog who hates the city. I have a dog I've been walking for years named Joey. He is so terrified of inside of the house. He is like the sweetest, easiest dog in the world. You walk downstairs and he's a completely different dog. And this dog has been in the city for years. He's on medication, anxiety medication. And that's just kind of whatever happened in him in his past. He just doesn't work with him. But I would say generally they're more adaptable. But you know, they all have their own personalities. There are dogs that are fine with everything except they hate a skateboard. You know,
skateboards are great. One or two things that like trigger a dog.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, dogs that are fine until a trash truck comes by.
Yeah, the dogs in the game are kind of
easy.
Easy.
Yeah. They're kind of personality-less in some ways. They have their special thing that makes them wag their tail, and that gives them some different
I will qualities. Say, though, you can't walk some dogs with the size dog. You know, that's...
Yeah. Yes, that's true, yeah.
I don't think they're going to put in quite aggressive dogs into their nice family game.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm not walking...
Super aggressive dogs.
Yeah. So I have, you know, they all have their things, but no one that's a threat.
Did anything surprise you about the game? Is there anything where you thought, that's funny. I'd never thought about that part of my work before or that part of this job.
I really think it was more accurate than I thought it was going to be. I don't know if it surprised me about my own job, but
yeah.
So you have the placard in front of us.
Yeah.
And you've got the poop space, the photo space, and then the personal activity space. It is like, it sounds silly, but they're the parents of these dogs is often such a huge piece of their life, and they do want to know all of these things. So the attention to detail in, like, especially the photo updating and if they went to the bathroom and if what we did on the walk, the parents do want to know all of that. I will say the younger the parent is, the more they want to know. So I do think the attention to detail was surprising to me. Cool. 'Cause in my head I was almost like, what do you what do I do? I couldn't even think of anything that I do that would factor into a game, but they...
Well, that's another way that the people are here, in a way that they, like, they're not totally erased from the game, because, for instance, that's what makes these tips. Mm. They are monetized. People are kind of...
They're one.
But,
so it's capitalist. Know.
Do tips come into your own practice? I mean, do you get just a flat rate, or do you get tips, like holiday bonuses, that kind of stuff?
It's an interesting question. I am the proprietor, so generally you don't tip the proprietor. I do have... Generally, I would say don't get tipped. I have... the occasional client that tips, and then holiday bonuses, that is more common, but not not everyone. Maybe half, maybe half of people.
A tip thing is maybe more of like a Rover situation.
Totally.
Right.
Yeah. And that makes, that totally makes sense.
But I'm not the big boss. A dead phone came into it.
Yeah, that was cool. Huh?
I like that too. That's actually,
you responded to that right away. You were like, oh, yep, that's bad news.
It comes up.
Bad news.
You know, it doesn't happen to me. I have a portable charger, but it happens to my friend. Way too often. You know, actually, maybe for the holidays, I'll get her a portable charger. But I'll be with her and whatever, and she'll be like, oh, my phone died and I can't, you know, do that. It comes into play.
Yeah.
It's serious business.
Absolutely.
The restaurant we ate at yesterday had little, like, bricks that you could check out and bring to your table.
Oh, my gosh. Really? Yeah. I didn't notice that.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
That's so funny. If you were going to make a game yourself, like, about walking dogs, would you do anything differently? Or is there anything that you would, like, what came to mind when we first told you we were going to do a dog walking game?
I had no idea what they were going to do. And I do think the like scheduling logistical focus of it all is probably the best way to go about it.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you were going to do, when I was a kid, I was obsessed with, you remember that like thick, I feel like so many kids had it. It was like that thick white book and it just said dogs and it just had like all the breeds in there. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Like what, it's like the Smithsonian maybe produced it.
Yes, it's that series and they have them on different things. Right. I was just obsessed with that book.
Yeah.
And I just like memorized all the breeds. So I would say another angle would be something more, not to say this isn't dog focused, because obviously it is, but like very specifically dog focused about them.
Mm-hmm.
But this, I will say, did a really good overview job of kind of running around the city and feeling your brain get a little scrambled.
Yeah.
Because you have to get there before this time. And then.
I see what you're saying. And it's sort of one of those things where like, if you made it more dog focused, it would be less about the like volume of dogs you're getting through, right? We got through what, like 40 dogs or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, you can't get every angle. Also, this was so, it's funny because it goes by the day, you know, the time of day and it's getting whatever. And I could feel it. I could feel it. I could see on my dog's thing. You've got to get home. You've got to get home. And I only have 3 more hours in the day or whatever it is as it goes down. It is reminiscent of that, you know, brain scramble feeling.
Yeah. And Steve just stole Luna.
That's a big no-no.
Yeah.
Well,
that's like a number one don't do.
Should he just automatically lose for that?
Yeah, I think he might be in jail.
I did.
I did
lose the game.
Yeah.
There's no. It's interesting. There's nothing built into the game to like stop me from doing that.
Yeah, there should be.
I just like brought the dog on board and didn't finish walking her, and the day was over. I mean, I think presumably I just brought her home quite late and didn't get my tips.
Probably. Have you ever done that?
I haven't. I was on vacation recently though, and I had a cover, and this was a woman. Yeah. And I told my clients this. She came recommended to me. I didn't know her, but my clients told me when I got back that they didn't want to use her again. I was like, oh, okay. You know what was wrong? Basically, the woman took them out of the house until like 8 p.m. It was supposed to be an hour walk, and she had them out for like 7 hours.
Wow.
Apparently, they went to Brooklyn. I don't live in Brooklyn. We were in Manhattan.
Yeah.
So
wow,
not happened to me, but
yeah, I don't know how I'd feel about that. I'd be like, man, my dog is tired, so thanks. But
I feel there are circumstances, maybe if you gave a warning or asked, you know, my clients are great and so flexible with me, and I'll be like, hey, you mind if I walk this one a little later or keep this one out a little longer? And they're super great. They're so, so easy, but you know, you gotta vocalize it.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
Well, there's none of that in this game. There's no communication with the owners. It's very devoid of owners.
It's clearly more going for the app vibe.
It is going
for
the app vibe.
With the surge pricing and even the competition thing. What that means essentially, right, is that other people have snapped up those dogs out of the app and now they're gone. There's like a marketplace of available dogs.
You said this was 2023, this game came out?
Yeah, 2023. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does it seem like appropriate to have that much competition in a game like this? Is it a competitive business, the one you're in?
Yes and no. There are enough dogs for all of us to go around. It's hard sometimes because again, the my coworker that I talked about, we're like the biggest faces in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So I think people go to us first in their mind. I don't have any lack of dogs. She doesn't have any lack of dogs. I think maybe smaller or just less visible. Mm-hmm. I think also the dog park is a huge part of it, and like knowing the same people. There are dog walkers that don't go to the park and they just, you know, are on the street not meeting the same people. Yeah. So yeah, there's definitely some competition, but I feel if you're very good at your job, it is visible. I've been stopped on the street by people, ask for my card. They say the dogs are so well managed. You know, they're clearly happy, whatever it is. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think there's enough for all of us. So
yeah,
and especially the people I work closely with, we help each other out. You know, we cover each other when we're on vacation and stuff. So
yeah, that's nice.
There's some competition, but there's enough for all of us.
Competition, but also community, sounds like.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Any advice about walking a dog on a street that you'd like to impart? New York City street?
Mm. No, the dog's personality is so huge. I have dogs that would never, that there could be like a full steak. They wouldn't even turn their head.
Yeah.
And I have dogs that could see a needle and think it's a snack. So knowing the dog.
Me out just hearing
yeah, no, it's not fun. But that's huge. Knowing their personality. My first blanket coverall tip would be walk on a short leash.
Mm. Yeah.
Especially in the city, yeah. You never know.
Yeah, those retractable leashes are a no-no in the city, huh?
Those are a no-no anywhere.
Yeah.
For me. I hate those are my least favorite.
The little ones
exactly.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. You had some really nice leashes that were
leather handles.
Leather handles.
That's Tala. She's got a nice one. Yeah. She's a fancy girl.
They were like a thick, almost like a climbing rope. It looked like a rope that somebody would be mountain climbing.
Yeah. So I have a few leashes that I own myself. And if the dog has a leash that I don't like,
yeah,
I'll swap my own in.
All right. Well, Corey, thank you so much for having me on.
This was great.
This game.
Thank you for inviting us to the park
with
you.
Yeah, that was fun.
Oh, thanks for joining us. That was great.
Check out the social feed because we will post the pictures of our trip to the dog park.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll repost it as well.
Yeah, sweet.
Okay, well.
Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for taking the time to do it and for playing the game. I'm sorry that you did not win. I thought you were going to.
I also did. I don't know. It was that sneaky card.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your secret objective. Do dog walkers have secret objectives?
Not to my knowledge. No ulterior motives.
Yeah,
that's just pure game.
Yeah.
Pure game.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Right. Oh, well, so that was a lovely visit with Corey.
Yeah.
The dog walker.
Corey the Village Dog Walker. Kind enough to join us today and play Bark Avenue here at the Williamsburg Public Library. The Williamsburg branch of the Brooklyn Public Library, I should say. Shout out to them for hosting us in their community room.
Yes, it's been lovely. Yeah, it's been easy to get in here to do our work,
to play our games.
I'm sure they're like, what is going on in that room?
We were even joined by a little clandestine canine friend.
Yeah, I don't think that was supposed to happen.
I don't think Yogi was supposed to be in the library, but it was really cute that he was. It was really cute that he was here. I was glad about it. I was happy about it.
We had fun. Yeah. Cool. So, we played Bark Avenue. It has been a good experience. I think it was, we could both say we've had fun.
Yeah, it was fun. It's a fun game. Yeah.
Playing this game. Yeah. It's a pick up and deliver game. Mm-hmm. You're picking up dogs, you're walking them around the neighborhood, and you're delivering them. It's pretty simple. But if I'm going to play a simple game, like a game of this complexity, I think it might be a good choice.
Yeah, I mean, theming, if you're going to go relatively simple, the theming matters a lot, obviously, right? And both of us said yesterday when we were playing this for preparation, they're like, oh, actually, this would be like kind of a fun game to play with casual people who don't play board games a lot, just because it's really cute.
It's super cute.
It's positively cute.
I have not seen another game with poop tokens.
Poop tokens? Yeah, that's pretty cute.
Yeah. I know that there's a version of this where they're actually wooden meeples, and I'm kind of sad I don't have
it. Yeah, the like deluxified version, like wooden like laser cut.
Yeah.
Laser cut poop meeples.
There was... a moment where we were like, if you found this little poop token completely out of context, like, should we just leave one here and see what, you know, like, and just hope that it would
it
be
definitely
like
definitely looks like dessert.
Yeah, it looks like mousse, yeah, like chocolate mousse. It's not a gross poop meeple. It's cute.
It looks like ice cream.
It's cute. It looks kind of like the poop emoji.
Yeah, without the eyeballs. No face. It's not anthropomorphized. Yeah. It's just poop.
All right.
All right, let's get
What's
into
your
it.
Meaningful
let's get
moment,
into our
Steve.
Takeaways here. So you want to start with my meaningful moment?
Sure.
My meaningful moment, I think, might be the same one that you mentioned, perhaps. I don't know. There were actually quite a few meaningful moments in the game mm-hmm. because the dogs are so well represented that, like, every time something happens, even no matter how abstract it is, like, hey, I'm putting a wagging tail on my board because of the ball. Mm-hmm. It feels meaningful because you could imagine, like, throwing the ball and that cute little pooch chasing after the ball in the park.
Yeah.
My meaningful moment, though, was an event card. And it was an event card called Dead Battery.
Oh, that's mine, too.
Yeah, that came out.
Yeah.
And what it meant was that our phone battery had died. And we were then required to pay $2 out of yep. our tip jar, essentially, in order to take a photo. And you get tips for taking photos because owners like to see cute pics of their yep. dogs out in the world when you're walking them. And as soon as this card came out, Corey was like, oh, that's bad news.
Yeah.
Like, before I had even explained
yeah.
what the penalty was, she was like, oh, that's terrible. Oh, yeah. my God. I always carry, and she was like, I always carry a portable charger with me. And I know people who mm-hmm. don't. I don't know why they don't do it. Maybe I'll buy them one for the holidays.
Yeah.
So I thought that was fascinating because it is still, mechanically speaking, fairly abstract. It's just like an action cost penalty.
Yeah, it becomes, it's a zero sum.
But it was, yes, it sort of eliminates the tip for yeah. a picture. But what was interesting about it is that it was very evocative of, like, the real life social stakes of her work insofar as owners want pictures of their pets. I totally yeah. understand. When we have people watch our cats, I definitely want to see pictures of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And that then the material constraints of her labor as a dog walker involves always being able to take photos on your phone. Like mm-hmm. that having a phone that's charged is important. Mm-hmm. So it, like, cut across both of those sort of social, both social and, like, technological or more material sides of the work for her. And I thought that was really interesting that was crystallized so well in that card.
Yeah, I chose the same meaningful moment because it was kind of profound. Like,
yeah.
it was one of the few moments in the game where she kind of really interjected and, like, mm-hmm. said, like, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
So really highlighted the issue of it being a big deal in real life. And I actually didn't really think of it like the way you're thinking about it, specifically in terms of the photo, because the card, yes, the effect is that you can't take photos for free anymore, but which suggests that you have to go charge your phone for the cost of $2 or
you
whatever.
Buy something at a place to yeah. use the, you know, outlet.
But for me, it sort of couched the entire game in, like, the modern tech-based version of dog walking, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. right? It shifted. After that came out, it started shifting my interpretation of the game, the surge pricing, mm-hmm. Act of choosing dogs and having competition for who gets to select the dogs, mm-hmm. this sort of, like, faceless competition. To me, that's all mediated now through yeah. this lens of, we are dog walkers in New York City who need our phones in mm-hmm. order to do business. Right. And I think that puts this game in a very specific moment in time. And it was actually another moment when Corey was like, when did this game come out? And mm-hmm. and asked. So,
oh, that has to do with the money. the prices in the game.
No, she asked specifically around when we were talking about
the marketplace,
like, Rover.
Of dogs.
Yeah, 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 you know, and how Rover sort of maybe reached its zenith mm-hmm. or peak in 2023. And so we're seeing all of this stuff. And so, yeah, like, the logistical considerations that we are navigating through this game are ones that are very much so tied to that sort of tech-based interpretation of this activity of dog walking.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I mean, I think I'll probably hold off on saying more on that until we get to the subject matter score.
Yeah.
But I think that there's a lot of things to say about
yeah.
that. What about unexpected expertise, though? What did you have for
yeah,
this?
Yeah. Unexpected expertise, I immediately knew it when I heard it, was the, you can take a dog on the train if it's in a bag.
Oh, yeah. And so people will get, like, IKEA bags yeah. and put dogs in them. Yeah.
Right. And which I have seen pictures of on, like, Instagram as, like, memes or whatever, yeah. or, like, seen video clips on YouTube or whatever of people walking their dogs with their legs, they leg holes cut in yeah. the bottom of an IKEA bag, and they're holding the handles uh-huh. and the dog is walking itself, but it's in a bag technically. So
I'm not going to take it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess I would think it very reasonable for an MBTA police person to, like, say that is really pushing it.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're going to give you a ticket anyway. But she also said that it doesn't really happen very often.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not really a thing.
And
I think you probably have mostly bigger fish to fry. If you're thinking about public health and safety concerns on the subway.
Yes, there are other things to worry about. And I mean, I guess unless it was a dangerous dog or something like that, then you might want to be a little more careful. Or if the dog was like really having a hard time on the train or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I have seen those pictures of the dog in the IKEA bags, and I thought that they were just like funny memes. And it was great to hear about how actually it's sort of like this practical subversion of the rules to get your dog on the train without having to physically haul a, you know, 40 pound dog down the stairs with you.
Yeah. It's a New York City workaround.
So that was my,
Yeah. That's great. That's a good one. I mean, mine was similarly kind of like, that's New York sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And it had to do with the rats. Yeah, so there was this car, this event car that was, it was like rats exclamation point. Cause in the game there are die that have like pigeons. The city die has a pigeon symbol that forces you to go a direction. Cause your dogs are chasing a bird presumably. And the park die has a squirrel, which does the same thing in the park. But there's a car that replaces both of those with rats, which pulls you even farther. Mm-hmm. But it gives you some extra movement. And I just thought this was, I was like, you know, this is funny. Is this just like a silly like dig at New York? Like, oh, there are rats everywhere. But Corey was immediately like, oh yeah, there's rats all the time. There's rats everywhere. And then she told a story about when she was like bitten by a rat in Williamsburg trying to save it from her dogs.
Yeah.
Or no, it wasn't in Williamsburg. We're in Williamsburg. So I just sort of made that connection. But I don't know where the rat was. Probably Manhattan.
Yeah.
But in any case, the idea that there are rats running around the street so prevalently that sort of like it's a guaranteed thing that if you have your dogs, they're going to see and notice the rat or the mouse and go for it. Mm-hmm. I thought that was, I guess shouldn't be surprising, but I was just surprised that that was not like in any way outlandish, but was just sort of like a reality.
When you asked, is that something that, you know, you see and you deal with on like on a, any even, have you ever dealt with it? Mm-hmm. I think she was like,
Every single day. Daily.
Oh, okay. So that is, it's an accurate usage of that card.
I mean,
we've seen how many rats already on this trip?
We saw a couple of dead ones.
Yeah, we've seen both live and dead rats.
But it was another one that I thought about saying was a little less specific. So I went for that because that's more of like an actually distillation of like something that's interesting about their work that I didn't realize. But there was this whole portion towards the beginning of the interview too where she was talking about her work in this very sort of like conquer the fear within sort of way, which spoke to a whole different side of the job. I mostly, when I was thinking about dog walking, was like, okay, clientele, scheduling, managing my schedule, getting my clients, maintaining my client base, getting new clients, like looking after the dogs, being on time. Never did I really think too much about like confronting an angry dog or like defusing a situation when two dogs start to get a little too physical with each other and not being afraid in that situation. Because I do tend to get pretty nervous around aggressive dogs. I'm not really a dog person. I've never owned one really. We had one when I was very small, but I'm mostly a cat person. And so, it was like, oh, that's interesting. But a big part of what she attributed her success and her longevity to was that she's never really ever felt afraid around dogs in any situation. And that she's very good at being this like, the way she was talking about it was almost like a benevolent version of like Roadhouse, like benevolent bouncer who at the dog park has to like break it up and make sure everybody's safe and okay without hurting anyone, but also like being stern.
And I saw that pretty quickly when we met up with her yesterday. I could have guessed that they would have become a part of our conversation because it is something too that I have always kind of just admired from afar, how people can handle those situations better than others.
Like she was using this term pack fight. And I was like, okay, that sounds terrible. Yeah. Like, you know,
brutal
as like a thing that someone needs to be able to deal with. Like, well, what do you do when there's a pack fight happens? Yeah. Like, oh my God.
It sounds scary to us, but she was like, I kind of wished it happened yesterday. So you could have seen me deal like, with it. Cause it is, I guess, an unconsequential.
Yeah. It's not a big
action
deal.
Most of
not
the time.
Not a big deal. Yeah.
Cool. So how about our score? Let's go down that. Yeah. So on 0?
Yeah. 3, 2, 1, and then share.
Yeah.
Right. 3, 2, one, and then share. So 3, 2, 1, 5.5.
Yeah. I knew we were going to get close to that.
Okay.
I considered 5.5, but then I just,
I actually gave this game 3 scores. So I'll talk through that in a minute.
This is a new record, folks. 3 whole scores from 1 host of Subject Matter Tabletop.
I gave it two, and then I averaged them, and then I gave it the average.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll explain why in a minute. But do you want to maybe talk first? Or do you want me to go first?
Mine is pretty simple. I feel like this game represents half of the experience of dog walking very well.
Okay.
You know, like the professional half, and I think that's why Corey responded to it so well, right? Mm-hmm. It's about being a dog walker who needs to make money for this activity. Mm-hmm. And so I think it does that very well. Mm-hmm. But I think that the level of abstraction when it comes to the dog's individual personalities, the level of abstraction when it comes to navigating the city, that is incredibly abstracted. It is just walking on lines to street corners.
Yes.
That, to me, sets it way back, because I want random things triggering. I want more than just the event card, right? My experience of New York City, and that's why I asked if these designers maybe grew up here, because they are desensitized to it, so they're not as, like, they're not featuring it as well in the game.
Just how insane it is to walk any four blocks.
I mean, to me, it's an adventure every time.
What did we see? Our first day here was so amazing. It was like a sequence of three things. What the second one was, people lowering a folding table out of a third story window by a like piece of rope.
Yeah. So when
but
we
before
first,
that we
yeah,
saw there something
there was
crazy.
Bricks just getting hurled out of a third story window and landing on the ground where we were almost about to walk.
and then on the very next block, there was a pair of dudes lowering a table out of a third story window, but it was tied off by like a tiny
tying a shoelace. Yeah. That kind of stuff is just it's everywhere. And I wish there was more of the personality of the city, because it's on the cover. It is being mentioned in so many other ways, visually, aesthetically, the names of places, right? But the gristle of the city is missing.
Well, the people are largely missing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's really what it came down to for me. So I assessed the game in two ways for subject matter score. I said, okay, if we approach this as a game about gig work or like platform work, app work, then actually it scores relatively high.
Yes.
Because what it is doing pretty well is giving you a vision of the city that conforms to how those apps and the economies that they support understand the city as a space which allows movement through certain constraints, and that there is just a marketplace of dogs that need to go certain distances and be returned to certain places that have certain functions which translate into monetary rewards like a picture and a poop and a favorite activity. And then you score reviews, and the reviews translate into further bonuses and unlockable abilities as you build your reputation, and then actually translate into actual just hard cash at the end once you start advertising. So it's all about representing the kind of like, you know, the platform economy or the gig economy of like a Rover app or something like that. So it does a very good job of capturing the optics, if you will, like the social optics of those platforms, how they understand the work and the way it makes you think about the space and the city. What the game doesn't do a very good job of capturing at all is the aspect of this work as really part of a care economy, right? So we could think about this game being a rideshare game. Mm-hmm. And it could pretty much function perfectly.
Exactly the same.
The only thing that would need to be changed is like the train spaces that would be turned into what, like freeways or expressways or something, right?
I'm hoping that most Lyft drivers don't have to deal with poop.
Poop. Yeah. Some of them do, I'm sure, in New York. Yeah. But yeah, you would just retheme it. But the mechanics would actually be hardly touched, maybe not touched at all, right?
Yeah.
The dogs in the marketplace are just going to become passengers. They're going to have destinations and origins. They're going to have length of ride. Mm-hmm. They're going to have, you know, et cetera.
Yeah, that's good.
So in that sense, it captures that stuff pretty well. But if we think about it as situated not just as part of like a platform economy, but within a larger care economy, then all that other stuff that you were mentioning becomes really important, because that's sort of what characterizes that work, right? There are actual people that Corey has built relationships with, who she has taken care of their pets for years, like since they were puppies, and now in their old age still looks after them every day.
Yeah.
Has like in a way reared those dogs just as much as the owners have, right? Has like been with them through tons of experiences, and I'm sure challenges or different sort of like medical issues that they've gotten over the years or whatever, right? And there's also the whole side of like the relationship that Corey forges with the dog, right? It's one of caring and love and affection. You take care of it. You look after it. You do behavior management. You pick up its poop, you know, there's a lot of that kind of thing. But then you also manage the emotions and the expectations and anxieties of the people who own it and reassuring them, you know? So none of that's here at all. Like there is no way in which it captures that sort of social aspect of the work. And even the stuff you were talking about gets to those other more affective dimensions of being a dog walker, like being on display. Corey was talking like people like heckling you or hailing you on the street. That becomes like a kind of, you know, a different aspect of that work where you're expected to perform some sort of like, oh, hi, yeah, I'm the smiling dog walker person. Like, take a photo, whatever, that is different and has a certain sort of qualitative aspect of navigating social life in the city that the game doesn't capture at all. So in that sense, I was saying, okay, gig economy game, maybe I'd actually give it like a 6.5, maybe a 7. Care economy game, given there's like a 4 or 3. So I decided to give it a 5.5. Sort of split the difference.
Yeah, I see what you mean. And I think a lot of that comes from it being taking place in one day. Which is awkward. It, you know, the interactions with the dogs are actually pretty shallow because you're sort of like, you're bidding on them almost.
Yeah, right.
You know, they're just like appearing on an app and you're just grabbing it and going.
Yeah.
And I think
surge pricing, ooh, extra $2 for picking up Paco or whoever.
Corey's relationship with their, you know, the dogs that she walks is much deeper than that.
Yeah.
And that needs more than one day to sort of develop that experience. So yeah, I think that falls. You know, what I will say though is with all of that, this game, I kept thinking, and this for folks who didn't listen to it, go back and listen to our episode on colonialism and that the representation of that in games. I think this game does a really good job at avoiding the perpetuation of harmful game mechanics.
Oh, interesting. Okay, tell me more.
I mean, we don't own any of these spaces.
It's true.
We're actually kind of wandering constantly. Yes, we do claim space on a advertising board, and that's the only moment of that, I think. I mean, yeah, and you're claiming dogs, but then again, you're just dropping them back off again. You don't keep them forever.
Right.
You don't own them. You're caring for them for a moment, and you're
There's no area control in Central Park. No. It's not like you get to like claim a section of the park, and only then can you take your dogs there.
Yeah,
and no one else can do it. Yeah, it doesn't work that way. The park is a communal space,
and even the like reward systems, like the way we get our reviews and we get sort of, I don't know, different kinds of rewards for for getting reviews. One would think that, like, you know, only a single player could get any of these rewards once, but that's not the case either, right? We can all get all of those rewards evenly.
Yeah.
And so I think this does a pretty good job at modeling some of those mechanics, that, or I should say avoiding mechanics that we were talking about.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting. Yeah, it does avoid some of those pitfalls. There's not a lot of, like, really resource management. You're managing your action bandwidth, but you don't have, like, that's pretty abstract. There's a resource. You have coffee and treats.
Yep.
But those are really just action tokens that, you know, fluctuate your bandwidth for action taking. So there's not really resource management. There's not really area control, and there's certainly no historical development as theme. But there is sort of like, you know, gig work as theme. And so actually the sort of like time, energy, and labor, that's sort of all we're getting out of this. So it does, yeah, it's interesting.
Well, that was great, Steve.
Yeah, it was good. That was a fun time.
Thank you so
much.
And
we got lots of good dog content. So check the socials. Yeah, if you're just listening to this, check socials and enjoy the sounds of the park that you're about to hear as we sign off.
And one more big shout out to the Williamsburg branch of the Brooklyn Public Library.
And to Corey, the village dog walker, of course,
thank you very
for
much.
Taking the time to play with us and chat with us.
Thank
this
you,
morning.
Steve.
Thank you, Jordan.
And until next time,
we'll see you around the table.
Walking into a bar of one of my friends, and I'm just like, hey, I was, you know.
And so it's like the dogs are checking in on each other and you guys are checking in on each other.
Oh, absolutely. It's as much for us as it is for them. Like, it's one of our favorite parts of the day. It's my whole job, but everyone else who it's not their job, it's one of their favorite parts of the day. Just spend the hour in here.